Welcome to Enabled, the weekly program about people just like you who are dealing with issues of vision loss. The program is designed to encourage you through news you can use, inspirational stories, and interviews. I'm Nancy Zimmer, your host for Enabled. Thank you for joining me. Today, I'll start with a definition, sensory substitution. Sensory substitution is a non-invasive technique for circumventing the loss of one sense by feeding its information through another channel. In other words, using my own words this time, if you can't see, maybe you could use touch or taste or hearing, your fingers, your tongue, or your ears to give you the same information. In today's program, you'll hear about some very exciting sensory substitution devices. The first one is called VOICE. It's a simple word, voice, but it's written in a special way, a lowercase v with a capital O, a capital I, a capital C, and then a lowercase e. Again, the word is voice, and I'll tell you why those letters are capitalized. Another sensory substitution device you're going to hear about is Drive Grip, BrainPort, iCane, and iMusic. From Discover Magazine, and as they say about themselves, science for the curious. The headline reads, Blind Sight, the Next Generation of Sensory Substitution Technology. The article was written by Dana Smith. And he starts by saying, it's long been known that blind people are able to compensate for their loss of sight by using other senses, relying on sound and touch to help them, quote unquote, see the world. Neuroimaging studies have backed this up, showing that in blind people, brain regions devoted to sight become rewired to process touch and sound as visual information. Now, in the age of Google Glass, smartphones, and self-driving cars, new technology offers ever more advanced ways of substituting one sensory experience for another. These exciting new devices can restore sight to the blind in ways never before thought possible. Now, I think you should know that this article features three very large pictures, and the pictures are used as a kind of introduction to the three new sensory substitution devices that they will be discussing. The first picture that appears shows a woman walking down the street using a white cane. She has a pair of dark sunglasses on. She's wearing a backpack. And in the bottom part of the picture, there's sort of like an insert of two other pictures, one that's black and white showing cars in front of a building. The other picture inserted into the bigger picture is the same picture of two cars in front of a building, but that picture is in a green tint. And we have the caption of the picture says, a female blind user is wearing the voice. The small covert camera is hidden inside her sunglasses, and a notebook PC running software is in her backpack. At the bottom of the big picture, a representative of the aural, A-U-R-A-L, or the hearing landscape produced by the device. As I said, that is black and white on the left and green with a slidey bar over the top of it on the right. So the article then starts, seeing with the ears. This is about the voice technology. One approach is to use sound as a stand-in for vision. In a study published in Current Biology, the journal, neuroscientists at the Hebrew University of Jerusalem used a sensory substitution device dubbed the voice. Now, here's the explanation of why those three letters in the middle are capitalized. The O, the I, and the C are capitalized. And if you say these right, you end up with O, I see. O, I see. So the product is called Voice. Oh, I see. This is to enable congenitally blind patients to see using sound. The device translates visual images into brief bursts of music, which the participants then learn to decode. Over a series of training sessions, they learn, for example, that a short, loud synthesizer sound signifies a vertical line, while a longer burst equates to a horizontal one. Ascending and descending tones reflect the corresponding directions, and pitch and volume relay details about elevation and brightness. Layering these sound qualities and playing several in sequence, each burst lasts about 1 second, thus gradually builds an image as simple as a basic shape or it can be as complex as a landscape. The concept has tried and true analogs in the animal world, says Dr. Amir Ahmedi, the lead researcher on the study. He says, the idea is to replace information from a missing sense by using input from a different sense. It's just like bats and dolphins use sounds and echolocation to see using their ears. Starting with sounds for basic shapes and lines, the participants in the study worked their way up to being able to identify bodily forms and positions, seeing them in their mind, even though they had never before caught sight of a human form. Remarkably, after approximately 70 hours of training, the blind participants were able to convert the sounds into visual activity in their brains, tapping into the same areas as control subjects who had actually seen the target images. This included a specific part of the visual cortex, the extrastriate body area. This is abbreviated the EBA, the extrastriate body area. And that is, this is an area that's specially activated when perceiving human shapes and positions. Now, these participants had never before been able to perceive an entire human body. They were able to grab a hand or touch a cheek or even wrap someone in a big bear hug, but they didn't know what a person looked like, squatting down, standing on one leg, or pumping their fists into the air. Yet despite this, these individuals were able to activate a very specific area of the visual cortex just by hearing certain sounds, correctly identifying these positions. According to Dr. Ahmedi, the brain is able to transfer the initial activation in the auditory cortex into the correct visual area of the brain. Here's a quote, "What is going on is neuronal recycling in the sense that the same neurons are doing the same task, but now with a different sensory modality." Amazing. So we come to the next picture, and you see a person sitting in a car, his hands are on the steering wheel. Well, actually, it shows the person with his hands on the steering wheel, and he's wearing very big, bulky, it looks like leather gloves with the fingers cut off. The gloves are you see a cord running from the gloves and disappearing behind the person in the driver's seat. The driver's wearing sunglasses. I'm not sure that's pertinent to the information, but the caption to the picture says, a grad student wears the drive grip system, which communicates steering angle to the driver. The headline for this section reads, navigating with the fingertips. Technological advancements are also allowing blind individuals to do something many never dreamed possible, driving a car. Research being done at the Robotics and Mechanisms Laboratory at Virginia Tech, led by Dr. Dennis Hong, has led to a prototype car for blind drivers. To accomplish this, Dr. Hong and his team tapped into the visual system through touch rather than sound. Employing technology used in the self-driving car, Dr. Hong and his team modified a computer-driven vehicle to allow drivers to pilot it solely using touch, relying on instructional feedback transmitted through sensors in the car. Lasers in the front of the car serve as the automobile's eyes, collecting information about obstacles and the boundaries of the road. Specialized gloves then relay this information to the driver to help them steer, gradually vibrating the fingertips on either hand in the direction the car should be turned. A vibrating chair provides guidance on optimal speed. The placement and intensity of the vibrations tell the driver to speed up, slow down, or come to an emergency stop. And finally, air puffs coming out of a tablet-like device located next to the driver. These little air puffs create a map on their palms and fingertips to help them navigate the road ahead. This allows the driver to make advanced decisions, giving them greater independence over the automated feedback from the car. Although he's gotten some flack for the project, blind drivers making some people a little bit nervous for obvious reasons, Dr. Hong has demonstrated that the car is safe and effective, and it's been successfully taken out for several flawless test drives by blind individuals. The National Federation of the Blind has also lauded the project for enabling the drivers to be actively engaged in the process rather than just passive passengers being shuttled around on autopilot. Dr. Hong and his team are still refining the process, improving both the car's sensory input and tactile output systems. And at the moment, the car has only been tested on a closed track, but the ultimate ambition is to one day have it out on the open road. In the next picture used to introduce the brain port, you see there are actually two pictures. You see a woman on the left. The woman is wearing sturdy-looking sunglasses with some cords coming off the back of them. She has a cord into her mouth, and in her hand she is holding some kind of an electronic device. And in addition to this picture of the woman with this, the stuff hooked up to her, there's a picture on the right that shows a small, flat, square, thin thing on a handle. The person is holding this thing up in front of him. The flat surface has a bunch of dots on it, black dots. Now I'll read you an official description of what's happening. The caption says, at left, the brain port video camera mounted on a pair of sunglasses, and the girl is holding a handheld controller. And then at the right, that picture that I so badly described to you is showing you the tongue array. This is like a lollipop that you put in your mouth, and those little black dots actually convey sensory stimulation to your tongue. Mountain climbing with the tongue. A more unusual part of the body has also been recruited to help blind individuals see through touch, the tongue. Your mouth is a highly sensitive area with a disproportionate number of neurons dedicated to it. The homunculus, which is a carnival-like depiction of our body as expressed in our brain, shows the tongue as having a greater sensory significance than the entire torso. The inventors of the equipment called BrainPort have put this lingual sensitivity to use, developing a device that converts visual stimuli into small electrical bursts onto the tongue. An array of 400 electrodes, those are those little black things as I describe them, an array of 400 electrodes on an area a little larger than a postage stamp sits on the tongue and receives input from a video camera hooked up to a set of snazzy sunglasses, a little bit like Google Glass. The visual signal is processed through a small computer connected to the device with the camera pixels corresponding to different electrodes in the array. This visual information is thus translated and spit out as electrical pulses onto the tongue, varying in intensity, duration, location, and number, all depending on the incoming signal. The researchers describe the pulses as feeling a little bit like bubbles or sparkling water on the tongue. In perhaps the most incredible demonstration of this sensory substitution technology, one man has been using BrainPort to climb mountains. The extreme athlete, you might have heard of him, Eric Weinmeier, the only blind person to ever scale Mount Everest, uses the tactile information on his tongue to navigate mountainous terrain. With this device, he is able to judge the size, distance, and depth of his next target on a climbing wall or on a cliff face, seeing with the help of the vibrations on his tongue. Like voice that we mentioned first, and like BrainPort that we mentioned the first one we mentioned, and like BrainPort, this one we're talking about, this one activates the visual cortex, bypassing the damaged sensory circuitry in the eye. These technological advancements raise the possibility not only for these temporary sensory stand-ins, but also for potential permanent treatment options, circumventing the malfunctioning perceptual organ and accessing sensory regions in the brain that had previously been thought to lie dormant. For example, laser sensors implanted in the eye could replace bulky cameras, relaying visual information to a microchip that translates it into tactile or auditory sensations. Or electrodes inserted in the brain could be used to directly activate the visual cortex, negating the need to access these other sensory systems at all. For as neuroscientist Dr. Paul Bacchi-Rita, the pioneer of sensory substitution technology and BrainPort's co-creator, once said, "We see with our brains, not with our eyes." We come to the next article. It's about some more little delightful gadgets. This comes from a website called www.israel21c.org. This title is "The Gadgets That Enable Blind People to See: Inventions Using Sound and Touch, Soon to be Commercialized from Israeli Professor's Lab, Will Give Unprecedented Abilities to People with Visual Limitations." This article was written by Abigail Klein-Leichman. In Professor Amir Ahmadi's, you've heard about him in the previous article, in his world-renowned Lab for Brain and Multisensory Research, which is at the Hebrew University of Jerusalem, people with visual impairments can see their environment with the aid of sensory substitution devices. And those are abbreviated SSDs, sensory substitution devices. And these SSDs provide visual information from sound and touch. Now, two of the lab's groundbreaking inventions are being readied for the mass market in a place called BrainOvations, which is what Israel's Brain Technologies 4-month accelerator program. There are two inventions that we're going to be talking about in this article, iCane and iMusic. The first one, iCane, is a flashlight-like orientation device. Emits infrared rays to translate distance into auditory and tactile cues, enabling the user to sense objects within an adjustable range of up to 5 meters. After a brief training, iCane users can estimate distances, can avoid obstacles, and successfully navigate in simple environments. The next, iMusic, is an app and a mini camera system that conveys colors, shapes, and location of objects by converting images into soundscapes for the brain to interpret visually. Blind individuals can be trained to recognize the letters of the alphabet, to see pictures of animals, and even find an object or a person in a complex visual landscape. A version of this app is available free on the Apple App Store and through Google Play. Commercializing and eventually combining iCane and iMusic could give unprecedented self-navigation capabilities to blind people. This is according to Daphna Rosenbaum, who was CEO of a company called Renew Senses. This is a pre-startup company based on Ahmedi's research in the Medical Neurobiology Department of the University's Institute for Medical Research, Israel, Canada. A quote from Rosenbaum, "The white cane is from 1921. The 21st century high-tech world has not effectively answered the mobility needs of blind people." Dr. Amir, that's his first name, Dr. Ahmadi and his team have exhibited the iCane prototype at global conferences and exhibitions, and testers in Israel have given enthusiastic testimonials, she says. "What we offer is independence in understanding and interpreting one's surroundings using the natural brain processing of interpreting the landscape and objects," says Rosenbaum. "No machine is as sophisticated as the brain, and our solution is based on its elasticity and sensory substitution abilities." Dr. Ahmadi received a European Research Council grant to develop the SSDs, whose patents are owned by YISSUM, Y-I-S-S-U-M, the technology transfer arm of the Hebrew University. YISSUM has spun out 110 companies, including superstars such as Mobileye, BriefCam, OrCam, and Betalin Therapeutics. The next section is titled Challenging Conventional Notions. Yaakov Mishlin, who is CEO of YISSUM, says the Dr. Ahmadi Lab's amazing research challenges the conventional notion that the brain is divided into distinct sensory regions. They demonstrate that people have the ability to take information from one sense and present it in another, thus enabling blind people to see by using other senses, such as touching or hearing, he said. With the encouragement of Yisum, Renew Senses entered Brainovations in May to build a business model and get the products to the people who were waiting for them, Rosenbaum says. The initial version of iCane could be available within 3 to 4 months of raising production funds. At this point in the article, there is a picture of the iCane. This is not a cane by any means. It's not a long, straight thing that you hold out in front of you. It looks, for all purposes to me, like a flashlight. It has a grip that you hold in your hand, and it gets a little bit larger as this thing gets bigger. So next we come to a quote, the Brainovations Accelerator helps us understand the medical ecosystem, including reimbursement and regulation and governmental programs like the Innovation Authority. This comes through the Ministry of Economy and Industry, she says. And she continues, it also gives us access to mentors and impact investors, philanthropies and angel investors as we finalize our business plan. This is like an incubator situation. Rosenbaum says that iCane and iMusic are based on different scientific insights that are potentially similar technologies under development elsewhere. Using infrared rather than ultrasonic rays gives iCane superior accuracy, and it is expected to be more affordable than competitive devices. iMusic is the only system of its kind that can effectively convey color and brightness information. A quote, we plan to combine the two products, and when we do, we will have no competitors, she says. We will have a mobility aid with the option of understanding color and other features like a compass and eventually image processing or object recognition. If a person detects an object, he can zoom in and take a picture, and iMusic will show him what it is. Instead of just being told there's a chair, it will be like opening your eyes and seeing it. Renew Senses, this is the company now, currently has a full-time research and development manager, and Rosenbaum hopes to add a production manager and a sales and marketing manager when it gets funded. All of the current 8 Brainovation startups presented at a pitch day last September through Google Tel Aviv, where the accelerator is housed. The other 7 are as follows. BioEye, which is developing a diagnostic device for cognitive decline using the front camera of mobile phones. Another innovation is called Positive Life, developing a mobile application for treating lifestyle addictions. Another one in this startup group, TaylorMed, which uses machine learning to improve quality and speed of medical image diagnostics. Another startup company, InnoSphere, developing a brain-stimulating device to treat ADHD. Another company called MyDopa, using machine learning to adjust the medication dosage for Parkinson's patients. And there's another one called Sentidio, which is developing software to improve the social skills of autistic children. And Remind, developing an at-home diagnostic helmet to detect an early-stage stroke. Stay tuned. These innovations might be coming to a store near you soon. So to finish up the program today, I have from a website called www.tech.firstpost.com. This is about sensory substitution devices to help the blind see via other senses. Using first-of-a-kind devices, Israeli scientists, they seem to keep going back to this one lab in Israel, so keep your eyes and ears open for that. Dr. Amir Ahmedi is the one who's running it. So starting the article again, using first-of-the-kind devices, Israeli scientists have mapped brains of the blind to solve how our brains can adapt to the rapid cultural and technological changes of the 21st century. The tools, known as sensory substitution devices, SSDs, take information from one sense and present it in another. For example, they enable blind people to, quote-unquote, see by using other senses, such as touching or hearing. By using a smartphone or webcam to translate a visual image into a distinct soundscape. SSDs enable blind users to create a mental image of objects, such as their physical dimensions and color. In a quote from Dr. Ametti, these devices can help the blind in their everyday life. And he is from Hebrew University's Ametti Lab for Brain and Multisensory Research. He continues, but with intense training, blind users can even read letters by identifying their distinct soundscapes. These devices also open unique research opportunities by letting us see what happens in brain regions normally associated with one sense when the relevant information comes from another. For the studies, the researchers used something called functional MRI imaging. Functional MRI, it's abbreviated with a small letter F with capital MRI, that's magnetic resonance imaging. Functional MRIs, to study the brains of blind subjects in real time while they used some of these SSDs to identify objects based on their sound. They found that when it comes to recognizing letters, body postures, and more, specialized brain areas are activated by the task at hand rather than by the sense being used. And a quote to end, this means that the main criteria for a reading area to develop is not the letter's visual symbols, but rather the area's connectivity to the brain's language processing centers. Similarly, a number area will develop in a region which already has connections to quantity processing regions. The findings suggest that an unexpected brain connectivity can lead to fast brain specialization, allowing humans to adapt to the rapid technological and cultural innovations of our generation. The authors concluded if we take this one step further, this connectivity-based mechanism might explain how brain areas could have developed so quickly on the evolutionary timescale. So to end the program today, I'll leave you with a quote mentioned earlier in this program. The quote was, "We see with our brains, not with our eyes." This was said by Paul Bacchi-Rita, an American neuroscientist whose most notable work is in the field of neuroplasticity. He was the first to propose the concept of sensory substitution to treat patients with disability. Paul Bacchi-Rita was born in New York City in 1934, died in Madison, Wisconsin in November of 2006. Thank you for listening, and I hope you have a great week. You've been listening to Enabled, a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. Our technical director is Maureen Rich, and I'm Nancy Zimmer. I hope you'll join me again next week for more updates and information and encouraging stories. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can listen to it at our website, wxxi.org.